for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. This is David Fulner along with Ken Simon, and it is a beautiful January 20th, 2021. Also, was Inauguration Day. So, have a new president, vice president, and that means all those new people up in Washington, D.C. today. So, congratulations, I guess, on a safe Inauguration Day. Everything seemed like it went smoothly. So, again, it was I watched a lot of it today on the computer, and it looked like a very nice event.
Well, to be honest with you, I think at this point, just the fact that it's over and we have a new sitting president and vice president, hopefully let's just move forward like we always do every 4 or 8 years. When a new person comes in, let's accept the fact that it is what it is, and let's move on. Pray for them just like we do all the others that are in office, and, you know, hope that America, you know, continues to thrive and despite the current circumstances.
Give everyone a chance to either survive or fail. We'll know soon enough anyway. Again, sometimes you don't know if the president was successful for 10 years, and then you find out what successes they may or may not have had. All right, again, it is another high school COVID night here, I guess, on WSKV, as we are getting stronger and stronger into the COVID picture. Again, the numbers seem like they keep climbing. At least the number of deaths I see is climbing, especially, and again, that's catching up from all the number of uptick on the cases earlier on. Again, it does have a little bit of a lag time when you talk about the mortality rate, but again, we're seeing far too many deaths from COVID. But again, as I'll go to Ken now with some numbers.
Yeah, it you know, on one hand, as long as we've done this at this point and had these conversations, you know, we're still kind of on that roller coaster ride again, where the minute you think we're going to make a turn and things are going to start to decline, we go right back up again and you have more cases, things along that line. So here in Kentucky, you know, sometimes these numbers, you know, are amazing in many respects, but 334,321 total cases since last year. You know, when you're talking March. Yeah, when we're talking over 300,000 people, that's amazing. But as of today, 3,433 new cases. And we have just as many new cases as we do total deaths. The total death count is 3,243. So we're getting, 3,000 new cases a day. And at the same time, unfortunately, over 3,000 people have lost their lives. When you look at the positivity rate, 11.29%. Again, we've been hovering around that 10 to 12 range for some time now. And obviously, under the circumstances, when the numbers were down around that 4.59, and at that point, we thought that, man, that's a lot, right?
When was that? Like,
yeah, it
seemed like forever ago.
It does seem like forever ago. When thinking at that point, though, when we get closer to 5, it was like, oh, we're trending the wrong direction. Now, all of a sudden, here, we're beyond 10 and have been for a little bit of time. Again, these are state numbers at this particular point, but still way too high under the circumstances. The incidence rate here in Powell County, 53.2. Is where we are. So when you look at the incidence rate, far too many. Again, that number is way too high under the circumstances. When you go back, let's go back to Saturday. There were 2 new cases on the 16th. Sunday the 17th, there were 3 new cases. Monday the 18th were 6 new cases. 12 individuals at that point had qualified for to be removed, I guess, in a sense. And today, 13 new cases. So the total case count here in Powell County, 845. 769 have recovered. So that leaves 67 active cases, 9 total deaths. 67 again, when you think about those active numbers, not as high as we've been at certain points, but still 67 people is a lot of people.
Well, and the way the numbers come out too, Ken, we want to make sure we stress this to everyone. The incidence rate of 53% was based on yesterday's number.
Correct, yes.
That incidence report will change tomorrow with 13 new cases. May go back up towards 60.
Agreed, yes, because we've been there,
yeah.
Right? We've been close to that 60 mark. But when you stop and think that we've had, obviously, the first round of people who have been vaccinated, I'm not sure what the total number of vaccinations are at this point, but still enough people have been making that decision. I know the school system, the first week of February is the scheduled time for people to get that first round. And I'm assuming they're still waiting on that second series of the vaccine to actually come out to be able to get that second administrative shot for the people who have done that. But when you stop and think, I still don't think locally we probably have as many people taking the vaccine at this point as they probably would like to have hoped. And that could be even true not only across the state but across the nation.
Well, I think here in Powell County you don't have a hospital setting per se. Therefore, your numbers of people who work in that field are less. So obviously, your nurses that work here, your doctors that work here, and I'm assuming they put the like EMTs and paramedics all on that first wave. So again, only 30%, from what I understand, I think about 30% of the vaccines available have been utilized, which is a really low number, I think. Understandably so for some folks, I think, when it first comes out, you're going to be the first sample size. Well, I would kind of wait till that first sample size goes through, see that it's not a big deal, and then take the vaccine. With the number of people who have had the vaccine so far, it looks like it's safe. It looks like it's very doable. Now, don't take my word for it and then get sick and say, well, they said it'd be safe. I think it looks like it will be safe.
I think most of the people, mild. Effects from that, some fatigue, fever. Of course, those are almost normal with any vaccine, in a sense, to kind of experience those.
You are putting something in your body that it doesn't recognize. Therefore, you build up immunity. And to do that, the fever is part of the good thing because it's helping to fight. But that's something, introducing something new into your body. Your body's going to fight it. That's the purpose of the vaccine, is to get that something new into your body so you build up those antibodies. And the good thing is, I guess, the vaccine, once you get phase two, it looks like it's going to be a last about what they say, we're saying about 9 months, I think. So, again, it's not a cure-all, and it doesn't remove the mask mandate. It doesn't remove the social distancing. It doesn't remove the sanitizing. It only makes the symptoms of the virus itself less if you did contract it. From my understanding, now that we got the variant, and they're saying now it's in all 50 states, and the variant is, I think, 50 to 75% easier to contract, and we're talking about a virus who was easy to contract. The variant may really throw a wrinkle in the system at this point if people aren't vaccinated, and again, it's going to take this herd. Mentality that we got to have only happens if everyone is vaccinated.
Or at least a large percent.
Yeah, and we're not even close to getting started with that. Hopefully they'll roll out a lot of vaccine here in the near future and most people can get vaccinated, but we're talking at least until March or April, until the general public really gets the availability of the vaccine. And I'm talking about general public, probably of 65 and under. And we're not even really talking about students per se. You know, the vaccine, if it becomes available next in February, it's the staff and faculty. And again, I understand that. Again, but, you know, if it does have some symptoms, you may have a couple of times where people have to call in sick, which kind of messes it up with the school system because the lack of availability of subs is down. So, again, not a lot changes with the vaccine, except hopefully the fatality rate will go down. Now, there are a lot of folks out there that say, well, a lot of people don't die. I mean, yes, but here's the thing. We're down to about, what, 1% now? A little over 1% of the cases do that. So if you had 3,200 cases today, 32 people of that today's number will die. So, and I understand you're saying 1% is not very many. 32 people is a lot.
Sure it is.
That are dying that wouldn't have.
It's a lot to those families who are affected by that.
It's tons. So you folks have to realize every day we have a huge day like today. To me, is a huge day because I look at the 1%. And you know, we're not up to 3 and 4% like we were at one point. But 1% is a lot of people. When the numbers are as high as we're having now, I mean, we've hit the 400,000 mark yesterday. We'll probably hit the 500,000 mark shortly. The way it is going up nationwide, it is really scary. And, I hope and pray that we get some things figured out. I do see more people that are wearing masks, which is a good thing. But when we see the rates going up, then somebody's not following all the protocols. Now, and again, I'm one of these people that's going to say this. When we had 12 cases, everything shut down. It just seems to me when everything is open, we should be closed. Because when we were closed, we were having success on fighting the numbers. We're back to open because everybody wants to do their own thing, and I get it. And everybody gets mad when they have a shutdown, and I get it economically, and I get it mentally. But for those who are getting sick because we are open, they'll get it for a long time. That's just a me thing. Again, there's no easy fix to this virus. But it seems to me logic should take place somewhere and say, we got to slow down again because the numbers are too high.
And on one hand, what does that even look like, right? Do we go back to all of a sudden it's a 14-day and let's kind of shut things back down again?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know either.
To me, you almost say, just go back home and stay there. But people aren't going to do that at this point. So I think everybody kind of realizes the political world is saying, okay, we got to have the economy open. We can't really handle heavy shutdowns. But if you're looking at the numbers every day, I'm thinking, how can you not? But that's not where we are now. I guess that fight has been fought. People have submitted and given in to, okay, we're just going to have to keep it open because everybody gets mad when you're not. But just understand, more people will die.
Yeah, and I think at this point, realizing that this is going to be a long process, right? So therefore, this is just something we're going to have to deal with.
Yep. For a while.
Yeah, right. And on one hand, it's almost to the extent of regardless of the outcome and how many people are even affected by it, whether that's, someone being tested positive or someone even passing, I think at this point it's almost irrelevant. We're opening up. It is what it is. This is the new normal. Pray and knock on wood that, it doesn't affect you or anyone in your family and you lose no loved ones due to it.
That's the thing. I mean, it's not a big deal until you're affected by it.
Right.
And the truth of that matter is over 400,000 families have been affected by it since March. And I'm not one of these people that just want to say give up, but folks, we got to be careful. I mean, and at least follow the protocols. Mask, distance, sanitize. If you're following those protocols, I'm the coach, one of the coaches that lost the season last year. Our players love the game, and they didn't get to play. We're back at it in conditioning now. We're trying to get ready for the upcoming season because we're going on with normal. Normal looks different. So you got to go on, even though you're thinking, and my common sense in me says, why are we doing this?
Well, especially as you mentioned just a minute ago, as far as where we were, right? When you look at where we were back in March and April and May, and everything with those lower numbers, and now we're far beyond those numbers.
Back in April, and the numbers were about 4.5-5% mortality rate. Yeah. People were dying a lot quicker, and if the number was that high now, oh my, we would already have over a million people who have died. So I don't know. I'm glad I'm not a politician or in the decision-making person that has to make these decisions because, man.
You're going to be scrutinized no matter what decision you make.
There is no good call anymore. No. I mean, it is what it is. But stay safe and try to follow the protocols as best you can. Again, I don't know, we say that every week, but we mean it. I mean, we want you to stay safe.
Right, collectively.
Yeah, we want you to enjoy normal. But whatever we got to do it together, and that's just all there is to it. We're going to take a break here on PCSN Live. We'll be back in a moment here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
From the Challenger, Charger, and Durango to the 300 and Pacifica, the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram lineup has never been stronger. Going on now during the Start Something New sales event, all 21 products are on sale. And as always, the great folks at Tanner Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram are dealing. Before you buy anywhere, check with Daryl and the guys for great sales and service. For over 20 years, they won't be beat.
Tanner, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Are you tired of the same old cell phone? Want a brand new phone but really don't want to pay hundreds of dollars up front for it? Then Appalachian Wireless has the deal for you. Get the phone you actually want instead of settling for a cheaper phone with the Appalachian Advantage plan. Instead of paying $400 or more for the best phone, simply pay the taxes up front and a few bucks more on your monthly bill. Stop by your local Appalachian Wireless store or dealer today for more information. It's the better, simpler way to pay, and it's called the Appalachian Advantage. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless.
Ken said we're back. So we're always back. We always chat a little bit while we're on our breaks. Again, we do want to thank our sponsors, though, for allowing us to bring you this. Again, we would want to preface the reason for the show is because of COVID, we're doing this show to kind of give back to our sponsors a little bit of time that they're losing through the COVID season. And hopefully we will not have a lot of cancellations. So kind of go over our schedule for this week, or at least on the radio side. And right now we have Estill County on Friday. And that's it for this week.
Not radio.
What'd I say?
Well, you said radio, but we're Facebook Live, WSKV Facebook Live, on Friday at home against Estill County. No fans will be allowed except for parents or family members, I should say, players.
Four per player, four per cheerleader, two for opponent players and cheerleaders.
And you have to go through the GoFan app in order to get your ticket with the voucher.
And that is a $1 upcharge. So if the tickets are five, it'll be $6.
And obviously you'll be showing a digital copy of your tickets at the gate. And I'm assuming they'll probably do temperature checks.
Yeah, and I think part of the form that you fill out will actually be on that GoFan page when you do that. I think part of the
contact tracing
part is there with the digital ticket.
So make sure that you have all of your documentation to make sure that you can enter the game on Friday. But
yeah, the way I understand it as well is the voucher must match the voucher submitted by the player.
Yes.
To be able to come into the gym. Again, that is a contact tracing issue. They're asking for a family of four. Obviously, I'm sure that people will get vouchers from players that are not family members. So folks, don't get upset because Jim Bob over here found a way to get a voucher and you have to stay home. That's just kind of the way it is. But I'm sure there'll be some people that aren't family that get to watch the game. We would love to see, I'm sure, everybody come in. But, you know, I think there's 16 or 18 basketball players boys, I think 16 girls. I think all that can be on the bench is 15. So we're looking at 60 per team, boys, at the home thumb team. And you're looking for 30 per player, the opponents. So you're talking about another 60. So we're talking about, what, 180 plus those who, if you, I don't know if there's any other way to come in, if the coaches get passes or not, but up to 200 people in the gym, spaced out, having to follow the protocol, that's it. Normally a Palo Alto County game will probably draw 400 to 600 people. This would be about a normal half of a crowd for Estill, probably a typical home game for either the boys or the girls.
And I can't remember what the athletic director, Doug Brewer, ended up mentioning. I know at least on the bench side and the scores table, correct, that will be pushed back to make room for the players on the bench. Yep. And I can't remember what he said on the opposite side, if that was going to be out or not.
Three sections will be open. The side opposite the bench will be open. Upstairs, both upstairs sections will be open. So both upstairs sections will be open, and the one lower arena side will be open. That is opposite the players' bench. What is behind will be available for the players to be able to space out. And I'm not sure if Mr. Brewer's listening tonight, if they're having to clear the gym or not, because you got two sets of parents, two sets of ticket holders. I don't think they will clear it.
That would be my guess. Most people will be there for both games probably anyway.
Probably, but, you know, theoretically, I guess at some point you talk about having to clear the gym for the second group to come in. I don't know if that's the case or not. So if someone's listening, Ken, Blake, Doug, let us know if you can tonight. We'll get that message out there to you if you're clearing a gym or not. Again, it's a new way of coming to a game. Make sure that I think the kids probably get the vouchers somewhere maybe tonight for Friday's game.
And those vouchers are dated.
Yes.
So that's like a one-time, you know, it'll just get you for Friday. It's not like all of a sudden it's going to allow you to.
And yeah, I don't know what the procedure is for getting your money back if there is no game. So I don't know what that protocol is on the GoFan app if you buy the ticket and the game gets canceled. I'm not sure what.
We've not even had that conversation, have we?
No, sometimes when I think about something, I say it and don't even think about it before. And I haven't thought about that, but I do know, or I thought I knew, the Estill County policy when we came on tonight, that it was if you're 50%, they don't play. But I am aware of this as well. They are over 50% tonight and have been for the last couple of days, but they're playing tonight, or the girls are, so they'll go on about 20 minutes after we go off the air for the Estill County girls. Again, that'll be here on WSKV 104.9. Now, like I said, I'm not sure what the protocol is if the game is canceled, whether you get your money back or if it's good for another voucher or whatever the protocols may be. I'll check my phone, see if anybody has texted me that information. I know Ken Jones normally listens to it, but he may be having practice tonight. So, again, those are some things you got to think about. You need to make sure you got the Facebook live app for your phone, for your computer, however you want to listen to us on the air. If you are an Estill County fan and you're listening to us tonight, they have all their games on the NFHS app. And most of their games will be broadcast on WSKV 104.9 FM on the radio side. So, again, the game Friday night against Estill, Powell County broadcasters will be on Facebook Live. The Estill County broadcasters will be on WSKV FM 104.9. So, make sure you have all your available listening tools.
And I had to step away. So, at the same time, I don't know if you said this, but when we go to Estill, we will actually be on WSKV. We will not be Facebook Live.
Correct.
Because they have the NFHS streaming service. So Estill County at Estill will be on NFHS. Powell County, we would be on WSKV.
Yeah, and it's kind of like this, folks. If you're old like me, I used to like to listen to like Marty Brenneman and Joe Nuxall, and not necessarily TV announcers. So we would turn the TV down. Turn the radio up. So if you don't like the crew broadcasting, you can always listen to the other crew, either through Facebook Live
or
WSKV. So you're not going to hurt my feelings, but that's kind of the way it is. Like I said, you need to be available. If you have access to all the ways we can be seen, you need to get the NFHS app, or you'll pick us up here on Facebook Live. Some of the schools may use something totally different, and I think maybe they do, but those will be the best of available for, I think, for our fans to listen to. So I think the NFHS app is $60, and that gets you a whole ton of games.
Yeah, it's across the country. Yeah, whoever, whatever schools have signed up to use that service, then you
like high school basketball, you ought to probably get it anyway.
Just football or anything else for that matter, volleyball, whatever is actually being played in the sense you can find it in any state if that particular school has the service.
Yeah, so it's probably good value for your dollar. It's $60. It's not that much. So, again, but we will be most of our games this year, especially home games, will usually be Facebook Live. The only difference will be the Estill County game, and that will be Facebook Live. But when we're over there, there is no video for us unless you're watching NFHS. So, love you for listening to us on WSKB 104.9, but you can also watch on the NFHS app, right?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. Prior to this year, that's what people had to do anyway.
Just
so,
listen.
You know.
Yeah, now it's now we got this built-in thing where we can show video. It's a pretty good thing. Again, that'll wind up our second segment here. We're going to step back, take a break. You're on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
Welcome back to PCSN Live here on WSKB 104.9 FM. This is David Faulkner along with Ken Simon. Again, we have talked a little bit about how you can listen to us, when you can listen to us. Do want to mention that we have played some games this week, and there are games to be played this week. So this is the actual schedule for the week, and it is last night the Balcony Boys played at Harrison County. Do you have the results up?
I do. 82-31 was the final score, and the Pirates really struggled from the get-go, to be honest with you. Harrison County started on a 13-2 run to start the game. At the end of the first quarter, it was already 21-6. At halftime, 38-17. At the end of the third quarter, the Pirates were outscored 44-14 in the third quarter. And then ultimately end up losing 82-31. Things just didn't go right for them, to be honest with you. They didn't shoot well, a lot of turnovers, a lot of easy baskets in transition on fast breaks for Harrison County. With what we saw against Williamstown, the improvement that the Pirates made last night, they took a step back and kind of regressed a little bit. But hopefully, you know, they're able to rebound, learn from those mistakes, and pick it up for themselves, as they'll be actually on the road tomorrow night at Menifee County. So down the Mountain Parkway, or actually not the Mountain Parkway, but
over
the mountain. And I was thinking of Morgan County because I was just there Tuesday. But Menifee County tomorrow night, that game. And hopefully they're able to, you know, kind of pick themselves back up again and get back on track. Because really the game that we saw – in the first half of the game against Williamstown. Outstanding first half performance. And then, you know, obviously they give up a three to end the first half. And from there, it's almost like the momentum shifted. And then from there, Williamstown was able to come through. But again, I'd love to know Coach Williams' take on last night's game. Because almost on one hand, it's one of those games where you just push it to the side. We didn't play well, and that happens. And let's just forget about it, and let's move on and prepare for the next opponent and forget about it. At this point, the Pirates are 0-3 on the season. You know, as we've talked about, the wins and losses, yes, everybody wants to win, but the main games that matter are the district games in many respects as far as postseason play, et cetera. So,
well, I think for this team, the thing that matters is getting to play.
The experience, right?
The experience.
Very young team.
Very young.
You know, when you look at, we've talked about this, there's only one senior, Cole Dunn, who did not play last year. Other than that, basically a lot of younger players, a couple of juniors, Jackson Hall, Chandler Congleton, Ryan Graham, who actually we've not seen him play all season as well. Obviously, they could use him out on the floor. But then you have somebody else that steps up.
Well, you got Colton Young and Braden Rogers, those two juniors, to wrap up that class?
Yeah, correct, yes. Yes, they're the only one. And then basically, you know, from there, the others will, you know, kind of trickle down as far as your sophomores and a lot of freshmen. And really, when you look at that freshman group, Braden Brandenburg, Kyle Nickel, we've not seen a lot of playing time from him just yet, Jack Rose, Dalen Williams, Cameron Del Rosario, you know, when you look at those players, they're getting some pretty good playing time at this point. And obviously you have to build for the future. You know, one of the things that we had a group of seniors last year or the year before.
Well, really two consecutive years of upperclassmen loaded.
Without the experience, though.
Yes, but it caused this group to kind of get backlogged.
Right.
And not get the playing time that probably they needed to develop. Again, and you'll hear me talk about this sometimes when you get into JV play. I don't really like to see juniors playing down because it takes away from your younger kids. However, since some of our juniors haven't had a ton of experience, you almost have to play some of those kids as well, especially when the numbers are low like they are. I think the last time we played, and I talked to Coach Williams about this, only three kids did not play JV. Of your group up. So, again, it's one of those things where it's iffy, but they're rotating so many of those kids in. They're all getting to play. They're all getting minutes. They're all getting some experience. Whether they win or lose, they have to play. And I liked it much better when they played again. Some of those kids are starting varsity that are starting JV, but to me, they got to play. I like the fact that they're playing them on both levels, me personally. And I don't say that every group. This group, I'll say they need to play as much as they possibly can so they can improve for the future. Again, we have our weaknesses as far as I think our feeder system is maybe a little behind, not playing enough games when they're younger, not a lot of development. Again, we've got a group of younger kids coming up. That being said, it's very difficult for freshmen to compete with juniors and seniors. In boys action. Girls action is different. You know, I think if you're a 7th and 8th grader and you're talented, you can compete with a high school girl. In boys, it's really difficult to compete at that level. You don't have a ton of success. You have to be a pretty special player to be able to compete with a older kid in basketball. Now, like if you go to Eastern Kentucky, Ken, you'll see a lot of these holdbacks. So you talk about a freshman that's 15, 16 years old. That's not typical. I'm not knocking holdbacks. I think that some parents may ought to think about that, not only for athletics, but educationally, because boys just seem like they don't mature enough. And what's wrong with a kid being 18 and a half when they go to college versus they just turned 17? To me, that's too young to go to college. So what's wrong with maybe holding them back for another year? They can grow socially, mentally and educationally as well, and they're also better athletically. So that's just me throwing my two cents in, but Again, the boys have another opportunity tomorrow at Menifee, which was originally scheduled for a home game that had to be changed to an away game for whatever reason. I'm not sure the reasons, but
I'm not sure either. Not sure we ever heard.
It was switched, and then on Friday night, the Estill County game, Saturday's game, I don't think they got a replacement game for Saturday. So the South Floyd, I think it was.
Floyd Central,
that game has been canceled for the boys, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so it's a tough stretch. I know I told Blake yesterday, I don't care how good you are, it's tough to play at Menifee. That is a hostile environment to go play. I don't care if there's fans in there or there's not fans. They seem like they get every call imaginable at Menifee County. So I'm not saying you don't get maybe help at home sometimes against out-of-region schools, but we've seen some really good teams over there that have got beaten by Menifee County, and just because they're a small school, don't overlook them.
Well, and on one hand, you know as well as I do, sometimes it's when you're the perception of you being an underdog.
Yes.
Guess what? It is a strength because at this point, guess what? I'm going to outwork and out-hustle you because you already don't give me a chance in a sense, and therefore that extra effort pays dividends.
Well, in basketball, I think it's a totally different thing because if you get kids that play together for a number of years and they all play up, and I use Owsley County girls basketball for an example, these kids have been coming for a while. We could see this develop when I was coaching girls still. These kids were young and getting their brains beat in, and now they're one of the top teams in the region because they've went through the process of being young and competitive to now they're older and they're ready to just run through everybody. So this is a really good, like an Owsley County team. You're talking about a population of what, 200 kids in high school max. They've got a really good girls basketball program up there. So again, size of school doesn't always matter. It's about these kids playing together, knowing each other, going through the process, and it is what it is. You know, our kids here, our boys, are not going to be as successful this year just because of lack of experience, not because of lack of talent, lack of experience.
But on one hand, you would like to think as well that even though you don't have the experience, you can still have that opportunity to work hard.
Yes.
You still have the opportunity to dive after that loose ball, block out for that rebound, to do all the extra things that you should be doing anyway.
The extras must be done
in order to compensate for the lack of experience. Yes.
And again, if we see a team that's out there not doing that and they're not as good as their opponent, they're not playing the right game.
Who was it last year that Powell ended up playing? I want to say Cordy or Buckhorn, and I'm not quite sure.
Buckhorn, I think.
That had the mullets.
Buckhorn.
They had like four or five players that had the mullets. Well, at that point, everybody's like looking at Joe Dirt, right, sitting there saying, these guys can't play, right? But guess what? They could play because they out-hustled, they out-worked, and I think they actually may have ended up winning that game.
Well,
I can't remember.
Buckhorn in 14th.
Nothing against Mullet, just for the
record. Well, but no. But 14th region basketball, Buckhorn in boys action is probably one of the, I'm going to say they're going to be a top eight school about every year, and they have to compete with Perry and Hazard. So you take it for what it is, and Buckhorn has won that district a couple times here in the last, I don't know, 20 years. Buckhorn has actually won that district several times and won the region, I think, at least once. So just because you're playing, that's the smallest school, I think, in the region, other than maybe Riverside. But, man, they give it all. They will lay it all out on the floor. When the game is over, they didn't leave anything left. I mean, that's all they've got. When you watch an Owsley County team play, I love to watch them play because they leave it all on the floor. That's
win or lose.
Win or lose, they're leaving it all on the floor.
I gave everything that I had and left it on the floor, and guess what? Today, maybe I got beat by a better team, but guess what? Next time, I might get you.
Well, you know, when you look at the region, look at Powell County. And Powell County, at the size of the school that we are, we should be more competitive than what we are. There's reasons we aren't. I'm not going to get into those, but there are reasons we aren't. But, you know, when you're the third biggest school in the 14th region, you should be one of the top five schools every year, just based on numbers. We're not there. every year in these sports. And you know, I put
myself, that's across the board.
I'll put myself and my team in the same place. And I think a lot of us have some of the same issues. But, you know, when you're a little small schools and you're playing with those big dogs, you get up for that game.
Well, it's pride.
Yes. So pretty much everybody you're going to play is a pride game for them. Maybe not as much for you, but maybe it starts should be for you too. And you do leave it all out there on the floor, the field, whatever your playing circumstance is. You got to leave it all out there to get respect from the others. You know, you love the way the small schools play because it's a lot of heart. And heart's part of it, folks.
That is a big part. And I think, too, that when you are that underdog role and the other team's just looking at you like, we've got this, right? But then guess what? Maybe your shot's not falling. Maybe the ball's not bouncing toward you to get that rebound, to get the putback, and maybe it's going their way. But at the same time, maybe they're just blocking you out and getting positioned to get that rebound, to get that second chance opportunity. I love Chandler Congleton's game. And what I mean by that is that he will go after every rebound that he can. He works hard to try and get his points as best he can, and he uses his body to block out. I love playing center as well because if I get position, it doesn't matter if you out-jump me. I have position over you unless the ball, like, you know, overshoots me in a sense. But yet, to be able to block out somebody to get that rebound against a bigger guy, there's nothing more satisfying than that when you're actually out on the court knowing that you outworked them. I worked smart, was able to get the rebound. And at the same time, I can't underestimate this either. For young players, if you are right-handed by nature, if you do not learn to use your left hand on the basketball court just as effectively and efficiently as your right hand, you're doing yourself a disservice. I would burn people using my left hand time and time again, especially against the big guys because they couldn't block me right-handed. I'm going up left-handed and taking left-handed shots after I've gotten a rebound, and they're thinking they're going to block me. It doesn't happen. That left hand is very effective. Again, to be able to use that and develop that skill set in order to better help yourself and to help your team, to put yourself in a position. Far too often, though, we don't see kids that are as effective dribbling left-handed as they are right-handed, or whatever the sport might be.
Yeah.
Again, to practice and develop those skills. And I don't know, maybe we just didn't have anything to do when we were growing up, and that's
well,
what we did.
I think more and more it was that way. I remember a player who played here, and he may be listening to us now, but David Goodwin, and I would call him the best post player Palcon ever had. Now, I will say that, and I'll also preface it. Definitely the best small post player we've ever had. He's about 6'2". 6'3 on a good day, but about 6'2". He probably weighed about 175, 180 when he was playing weight in high school. You know, when he had to play against his brother who went to college, he was 6'5". He went to college and played basketball on the team that went to first team to go to state. The guys he had to play against were his brothers. He was a younger one. Well, unless you won't get your head beat in every day, you learn to get better.
Correct.
And that's what you have to develop. And
eventually, I'm going to get your number, right? You're going to keep beating me. But if anything, that makes me hungrier to get better. Because, and one of these days, I'm going to knock you off your pedestal.
Yeah, because you've got to learn tricks. You've got to learn some 100%. Different things other than just what's taught.
And
Dave learned some tricks against, like I said, again, watching play. We had a player, girls player, several years ago. Mr. Combs was coaching basketball. Ilya Hunt.
Sure.
Ilya broke her right arm, and she was one of our point guards. Broke her right arm. Well, when I'd go home every day and pass the church, he was the pastor at Shiloh, her dad. And every day I go by the church, she's out at the church goal working on left-hand layups, dribbling left-hand because her right hand's in a cast. So everything she did was left-handed. The next year when she comes back, my goodness, unstoppable on the left
side. She was unstoppable. Yeah. So,
And that happened because of an injury, but that's what kids should be doing anyway. Basie Howe is one I reference through this all the time with a current player. She came up playing the post opposite Dakota Brown, who was a strong, and she played the post on the right side. Macy had to play the post on the left side. So Macy developed the left hand.
Yes.
Because she had to play on that side. Now Macy is a two-dimensional player. She may catch it on the right and take it to the left because she can go that direction because she learned that when she was a young player. she uses it really well, what she learned going either direction, left or right.
Most people don't expect you to go left, correct. And there's the advantage.
Yeah, Keely Rogers, one of the top scorers ever in Powell County girls basketball history, loved the left side. She was quicker than most, therefore she could beat them. But you don't go to the next level not being strong on both sides. But like I said, you can use one side if you're quick enough and you're good enough, but not against everyone. There's players who are going to be better than you that can stop that action unless you have that opposite side. So, yes, you definitely need that non-dominant side to be as strong, again, to develop your potential. And the girls are playing tonight. I didn't mention that either. But
we've
playing.
Not talked about the girls. You want to take a break and we'll come back and talk about the girls?
We'll do that. We'll take a break. Come back with more here on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Roses Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Ridgeville. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Ridgeville.
Toyota South in Richmond, online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
Welcome back to BCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is Dave Fulton along with Ken Simon here on WSKV 104.9 FM. We don't get to say that very much on radio anymore, but that being said, girls are in action tonight at Morgan County, which is why Ken hasn't texted us back, by the way.
Yeah, good point. The Lady Pirates coming in with a 1-2 record on the season. They ended up losing their season opener at Knott Central. They ended up defeating Betsy Lane and lost in overtime at Leslie County. You know, even though they lost by 11 points in overtime, the fact that you go on the road, and Leslie County is usually among the top in the region, you go on the road at Leslie and you get to overtime. And at that point, I can only assume, I meant to get with Coach Ken Jones to even ask him to figure out kind of what transpired there. I can only assume we got in foul trouble is probably what ended up happening, and they made free throws and shots, would be my guess.
Well, you know, it's and also you're playing, if you play 5, 6, 7 people, you play that extra quarter, and that's sometimes you're out of gas.
Yes, so
you can pile all those things. But again, a good showing really at Leslie to go to overtime, but lost by 11 in overtime is significant. I mean, that's a pretty good loss in one quarter. But, again, to get to overtime is probably a decent accomplishment by this team. But I think the girls, are going to be more competitive this season. And that, again, they'll play again Friday night with Estill County. But they're going to be more competitive because last year they took their licks because they were gaining experience. And I know Coach took some flack about some of the kids that he played because they were younger. But when we looked at it, it's like this. That's the year of growth those kids got that they wouldn't have got normally. You love to see those kids playing. Now this is a group where all five of those starters are back and one senior. So next year you're going to see four of those kids that are starters and you're probably, again, only one or two seniors. And then, again, you'll fill that up with some of the younger players. So these kids are getting a lot of reps. They're getting that experience needed going forward. And that's a good thing for the girls' basketball program. However, their one senior is their go-to, and that's Macy Howe.
And, you know, at that point, she's been – it seemed like we've been calling her name for a year. Well, it has been years, to be honest with you.
What happens when you're an eighth-grade starter.
Right, yeah. And she's earned that. You know, yeah. I mean, she's an outstanding player to be able to come in and do that. It's still going to take other people stepping up, right, under those circumstances, just like it is with the boys' game. You can't rely necessarily just on your bigs under the basket. Somebody on the perimeter has to be able to make those shots in order to open up that middle, because at that point, if you're not making your outside shots, well, at that point, if I can't get the ball in, because now they're going to kind of, close it in and collapse the defense on that interior post player, it's going to make it more difficult. Somebody has to open that up. And at the same time, you have to obviously reduce those turnovers, block out, rebounds, second chance points, and hit your free throws. You know, the free throw shooting obviously is such a key. And that's an individual... Yeah. Talk about, you know, developing your skill set. That is an individual skill that you have to do and practice on your own in a sense. If it's serious to you as a player and you want to become a better free throw shooter, you practice that more just like you would dribbling left-handed or any other skill set.
Yeah, kind of. I look at it like free throw shooting like this. You know, Chandler Tungle got tons of opportunities against Williamstown. If you get 10, 12 shots a night, from the free throw line. I want you to think about it this way. If I take 12 shots from one point on the floor each night, I promise you, you're not going to take more opportunities than your free throw shots from where the post player is going to take 12 individual shots from. Right block, left block, middle. He's not going to take 12 block shots from the right block. He's not going to take 12 from the left block, but he is going to shoot 12 free throws. So to me, it goes back to time management. I know back in the day where you had to make 100 before you left the gym.
Oh, or even collectively as a team, we had to make so many in a row.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's. I'm not as concerned. You know, if you go shoot free throws and you practice poorly and you're still making them, but you're only making them at a 65% clip and I want to be an 80% free throw shooter, then you got to focus even more on what you're doing. 65, if you get that in a class, your parents may fuss at you.
That's sure. Right.
I got to at least get a C for that class to really count. But I want at least a B or the A. Well, that's 80 and 90%. What's acceptable to you as an individual? Are B's okay? Are C's okay? They're okay. I get a D. That's passing. That's what a 60% free throw shooter is. That's passing. Not really doing well, but you're passing. That's 6 out of 10. So you're 6 out of 10. You're better than 50%. That's okay. In today's time, 60% is pretty good.
I'd still go but back. It shouldn't
it
be.
It shouldn't be. No. Watch your big, more acceptable, 80, 90% mark. You know, we're pushing for 70. Let's try 80. I want a kid that's going to overachieve, but they're going to have to put time on the line. Find them a rebounder. You got a rebound machine. Use it. Take your time. Do your same routine every time you shoot the free throw. Because in a game, that's what you want to do. You want to get in a routine. Remember Kyle Macy, who's a 98% free throw shooter, I think, maybe for UK, 94. Anyway, well over 90. Had to touch his socks with both hands before he came up every single time. Dribble three times. Set. Shoot. Every time he shot a free throw.
Same routine.
Folks, get in a routine and practice it to do a game. If you have a different routine, you're not going to be a consistent free throw shooter.
And eventually, guess what? Those numbers are going to improve and increase. And I get that, guess what? In practice, it is definitely different than a game setting.
Yeah.
Definitely different. But at the same time, that muscle memory, if you're doing the same motion time and time again, just like Kyle would do, if you're doing that, guess what? Eventually, they're going to start to drop, because you've repeated yourself time and time again.
I used to get tickled. I think I was a decent free throw shooter, just because I shot them a lot when I was teaching class. You know, class change, I shoot 10 or 12 free throws, whatever it is. I got to where I could make them with my eyes closed. They say, how do you do that? It's a shame. It's the same shot with my eyes open as my eyes closed. My muscles remember what to do, and I could tell you exactly where it came off my hand wrong if I missed it.
Correct. You feel it.
I felt my miss.
Yes.
So
straight up.
If you get to that point, then you can fix whatever's wrong with your own shot. You don't have somebody to tell you what's wrong, because you know where it came off your fingertips. You know where it left. You know where it's going. And then if you start looking, you'll know where it is. So there's a process to free throw shooting, and it just takes a lot of individual work. It's kind of like being a good putter in golf. If you want to be a good putter, you got to practice a lot of putts. If you want to be a good free throw shooter, better go to the line and practice a lot. It just takes a little bit more time to do that.
You're exactly right. All right, I'm gonna go back and say this real quick. So anyway, the Lady Pirates are on the road at Morgan County tonight. The game will be Friday night. They'll play host to Estill County. And it looks like the girls are playing the second game?
Second game, yeah. Boys, game time is the
first time
six.
I paid yeah. any attention to it, to be honest with you. So anyway, so tonight they're at Morgan. Friday night will be at Estill County. Now, I'm going to say this. This is from our general manager. So, if I get in trouble, don't get me, because I'm saying this from the messenger himself. So, we are WSKV and Facebook on Friday. That's not what I was thinking. I was thinking that what they would actually, since they're on the road, since they don't have NFHS here. So, anyway, he says that we will be WSKV and Facebook Live on Friday. So, just throwing that out there. I'm not sure what Esta was doing unless they're not coming and we're not going there. That's, and that might be the case.
That was what I would have thought, but I would also have thought that the Estill County folks would like to listen to their guys. The Powell County folks probably like to listen to their guys. But if
and maybe that's what it is, and we've not clarified again. We
work here.
Well, on one hand, things have been they're constantly changing and evolving. It's hard to almost keep up in a sense.
Well, like I said earlier, Estill County last week, if you're 50%, you don't play at all. Now they're playing at 50%. So I thought I had concerns about Friday night's game, and the girls are playing tonight, and they've been over 50 all week. So apparently, they're not going by their own policies.
Well, anyway.
But anyway,
we will be on WSKV and Facebook Live on Friday. We will be on the air 6 o'clock, roughly, for the first game. And
hopefully that's on maybe a little bit early if they can.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah, we might be able to twist some arms, get on a little bit earlier on, at least 10 minutes. You know, 10 minutes would be great to be able to kind of set everything up, because 6 o'clock, honestly, they're about ready to just tip it up. Yeah, they're ready to play right then and there. So hopefully that kind of happens then. But we will be on Friday, 6 o'clock.
Friday at 6, you can pick us up here on WSKV.
And WSKV Facebook Live.
Facebook Live. I mean, I don't know why people aren't watching on Facebook Live anyway, because guess what? You get to see the game and listen to us. But anyway.
It makes it a little bit more challenging.
If you're riding in a car somewhere, you got it.
Makes it a little bit more challenging, because at that point, the audio and the video are right together. Sticking and it's up. Harder to make, you know, if you're on the radio, sometimes you can make mistakes. Nobody knows you made a mistake and you move on. Now they know you make mistakes.
Yeah, Greg hit it really well when he would go back about 30 seconds into a break and we're back live, and he would recap that 30 seconds before we were back to live.
Great at it.
Yeah, but.
Great. I mean, literally.
Before we were on the TV screen, we'll say, people didn't know we were like that.
They didn't know. Now they know.
Now they know.
We're not perfect. We do the best we can.
Yeah. Ken does a good job of that, too. But Greg, it was like an art form for him. So, yeah. But anyway, that's what it is. That's our schedule for the week. We'll try to get next week's schedule this weekend. Again, we kind of never know what a schedule is anyway with COVID. But
we've got another break, David.
We've got another break. We'll be back in a moment with more here on Sports Talk Live. Oh, I did it. PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protech Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protech Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey. Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave Faulkner and Ken Simon. Again, this is Dave Faulkner. We're good. We were trying to figure out, we do have another program coming on here in a few minutes. It is the Estill County will be playing at home, a girls game tonight. That will be broadcast here on WSKV, and I think they go on at about 7:20. We're talking to our broadcast staff here to see what time that they have to have the equipment. We thought maybe we would stay on a couple minutes extra here to just kind of fill that gap. But anyway, again, you heard the girls are in action tonight at Morgan County. Boys will be in action tomorrow night at Menifee. The boys and girls will both be at home 6 and 7:30 respectively. Boys at 6, girls after. We did not get any information about whether or not they would clear the gym. I'm assuming that would be they're not going to be clearing the gym, but never mind. I was checking my text message to see if I got anything, but I don't have anything yet. So again, I was kind of updating them, Ken, while you was checking there. Are we good to go for a couple more minutes?
Yeah, let's just go on and stay on here. It basically, the Estill County broadcast is going to be coming on here at about 7:30. Their game against Bourbon County, I think that's what I said, the girls over there. So at that point, then, as opposed to signing off and going to the Tim White broadcast, which would only last
10 minutes,
yeah, we thought, we might as well just stay on here just a little bit longer.
Yeah, we'll do a little bit of bonus time again. We'll kind of go into some pro sports here for a second. Again, you got your World Series. Your Super Bowl getting close to being set up. Drew Brees and Tom Brady had a masterful performance, I guess, on Sunday.
Well,
Tom Brady came out on top of that.
Somebody did. I'm a Saints fan. At the same time, I'm a Buccaneers fan, just because, you know, being younger, the Buccaneers were like the new franchise, you know, of the time and everything. I was like, okay, I always like Tampa, I'll be a Buccaneers fan too. But the Saints are really my team.
Drew Brees,
yeah, he did not have a great game, potentially his last as a New Orleans Saint. I didn't care for that. But what's interesting, though, when you look, you have Tom Brady, Brees, and Aaron Rodgers all in the same conference. And so now you have Rodgers and Brady that will be playing to get to the Super Bowl. But then on the other side, you've got all the young guns, who've besides Mahomes, who've not necessarily been there. So,
and whether Mahomes will be even able to play this week.
Correct. Might be Heineke.
Maybe in question. And, that's where they are in Henny.
Henny. Yeah.
He used to be quarterback of the Dolphins. Well, I don't know him. But, he did a good job filling in for Mahomes after he went down.
He did.
I thought the Browns actually were going to come back and could have won that game. Hit some breaks gone their way late after Mahomes was especially – he went out of the game. But you hate to see a good quarterback go down. Mahomes has been proven to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But you're talking about elite stuff. When you're talking about – and I didn't realize these stats I saw about with Breeze and with Brady. Top two quarterbacks in most passing statistics available.
Yeah, these yards, cats, completions.
Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, so you were looking at historically two of the best quarterbacks of all time with Breeze and Brady. Again, Brady, it's kind of nice to see Brady break out from the Patriots and get a win of his own. And we'll call this not a Patriot win, but a Tom Brady win. And I think that's something Tom Brady wanted.
100% agreed. Yes, so, that's exactly what he wanted. He wanted to prove that, guess what, I can go someplace else and be successful. And it's more me and not Bill Belichick.
And now look at what happened to the Patriots once he left. And he also took his buddy with him.
Gronk. Well, I will say this in defense of the Patriots. My son's a Patriots fan. But in their defense, there were a lot of players, starters, who did not play this year because of COVID. Okay. So they had numerous starters, yes, who decided not to. Not that that's an excuse, because, you put the product out on the floor or the court.
I think with opt-outs this year, your teams that knew they weren't going to be as competitive, those were the guys that may have opted out. The teams at the beginning of the season, we're going to be competitive this year, they didn't opt out. I think you see that more and more. With Major League Baseball getting ready to start up, Major League Baseball has some changes. By the way, let's set our playoff up real quick here before I do that. So we got the Green Bay Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then on the other side you got Kansas City and
Buffalo.
Who?
Josh Allen.
Ooh, Buffalo.
Yeah, good young quarterback.
So I mean, I really like Kansas City to win that one. But man, Buffalo has been kind of dominant here in the playoffs. Knocked a good Miami team out in the last week of the season. It was really a playoff game for Miami, not necessarily the Bills, but going into the playoffs. I mean, they thrashed the Dolphins. They had one of the best defenses in the league. So they're playing really well. So going to play Kansas City, I tell you what, if they don't have Mahomes, Buffalo's got a chance to win that one.
Yes, they do.
With Mahomes, it's probably 50-50, but they do have the home field advantage in Kansas City. I do probably like the Packers are probably the favorite over the Buccaneers.
But agreed.
We'll see what happens here.
I think
again,
the Packers.
At Green Bay, that's going to be cold. Brady's used to cold, though.
Yeah, I think Green Bay probably is the favorite going just overall as far as to win it all if you take Mahomes out of Kansas City.
Yeah.
At that point, they would have – I mean, they've been solid all season. And my daughter's a Green Bay fan.
Yeah, both sides of the ball, I probably like Tampa – Kansas City, the Green Bay Tampa Bay winner probably is going to be very competitive against either of those two AFC teams.
As long as it's not Brady, I don't care.
That being
even
said,
though I'm a Buccaneers fan, but I'm not a Brady fan. He's had enough. That's the whole point. He's had enough.
But it's going to be a very competitive weekend of football going forward. The AFC Championship and the NFC Championship getting ready for the Super Bowl. Also, we've got Major League Baseball, some news, big news, I guess, for Toronto. Sign one of your big guys that on the market this year, and Springer signed a, I think, six-year, $150 million contract with Toronto. They're starting to land some guys. There was a story that got out today that was later said to be false, was they also got Michael Brantley. That was later to be taken back. That wasn't actually a signing for Toronto, but they picked up a couple pitchers. If they were going to get Brantley, or they wound up eventually getting Brantley, man, I tell you what, they have built them a team that's going to be competitive in the East, in the American League. And, again, I wish I knew about what the NL was going to do with the designated hitter. I wish they'd kind of released that. I think they've told them to plan on not having a DH. I kind of liked it because it adds a little bit more offense to the picture. And, like, I'm a Reds fan, obviously, here. But the Reds have been kind of knighted the best team in the Central, the favorite to win the Central rosters as they stand. Now, roster changes can still happen. We can still add some players, subtract some players. But I think the Reds are now saying, okay, we're going to go with what we got and try to add some pieces and to be that team that's the favorite to win the NL Central, which we've talked about, was everybody's kind of trying to get out of that mode and rebuild. Pittsburgh is really trying to rebuild. I think Milwaukee's probably more toward rebuild. That leaves, well, Chicago is, if they lose a couple more guys, they're definitely going to be on a rebuild.
Turnover.
That only leaves your Cardinals and my Reds for the Central as we speak. And, again, we're talking about a division where the really good teams are getting a lot better and the others are just kind of staying where they are. You know, the Braves are going to be good. The Mets are going to be good. The Nationals are going to be really good. Dodgers, Padres. I mean,
baseball going forward should be some really good teams. The interesting thing, especially in the Central, is they beat up on each other so much that their records are not necessarily outstanding and great, and you don't necessarily think that they're yes, exactly. Yeah, so therefore you could just about pick any of those teams in a sense and be like, okay, that's who's going to come out of the Central. Obviously, the favorites have been the Cubs just based on their roster. But yet now, when, as you mentioned, even going out west, Los Angeles, the Padres, even the Giants for that matter, I mean, you've got a lot of good teams out there. And then even in the east, with Atlanta now rising back up again, and then the Mets, you know, making some changes.
And, like I said, the Nationals just made a couple pickups, and holy cow, if I'm in that division, you have the Nationals arguably the best rotation in the league with the Mets. You're talking about two superb rotations in those two. And then you got the Braves who had what they had last year rotate. They shut out teams the first few times they played. So those three teams have dominant staffs. The Padres are trying to build a dominant staff. Dodgers have got a lineup that's like no other. Their pitching staff is probably not as good as the other three from the East. That's probably the best three pitching staffs. Actually, the Reds have got a good staff minus the Cy Young Award winner. If he winds up, which I don't think is going to happen, but if he wound up maybe coming back to the Reds because nobody's shown a lot of interest yet, then you put the Reds in the mix with one of the best pitching staffs in the game with the big three in the NL East. So pitching is where it's at. We'll just see who's got the best arms when we come out of, and we're only talking about, a month away from
Spring training
beginning.
Pitchers, catchers
report.
Be right around the corner.
Days.
Right around the corner. Yeah, I will go back. I meant to mention this when we were talking about football. The other big news in the NFL, Urban Meyer coming out of retirement, be the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, that money does talk.
And with Trevor Lawrence potentially as quarterback, then, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Dolphins, pick three this year. And you think Devonta Parker is going to be available. That's your Heisman winner, superior receiver. The Dolphins were picking a lineman. It was a projected draft. I'm thinking, you got Smith available at three if one and two go to quarterbacks. The kid from Ohio State projected to be the number two pick, Justin Fields. Take Smith. To me, you got a quarterback. Let's find a receiver that's a all-world receiver. But I do understand a lineman, but not at the three pick. I like the Dolphins trading the three pick if they want a lineman and trade down. Somebody else take that. Take somebody else take Smith, and you still get your lineman at five or six.
I completely understand the logic.
That makes sense to me in my
head. I do. I understand that.
I'm a Dolphins fan. Anyway, I can live forward that. We know the Reds got a lot of signings on their 17 kids. I think they drafted in the what is that called? Their Latin American draft, if you will. They got, I think, 15 to 17 guys in that international pool money. I think they signed 15 of those. They got some really nice-looking prospects. Most of them are outfielders, which is kind of weird. They've got a plethora of
good word
outfield.
Like, right? Yeah.
They have a lot of outfield players. That we got guys on the bench that should be starting, but who knows who's going to play where this year for the Reds. But again, that is going to be their, I think it's a strength. It's also, they're just good. They're not great. They're just good players, and they're all just good.
You're exactly right. At this point, we probably should go on and head out and let Caitlin get ready for
the
broadcast.
And good luck tonight with the Estes County game. Again, they'll be broadcast here on WSKV. So stay tuned here The WSKV for basketball action coming out of Estill County, Kentucky, with the Estill County girls playing Bourbon County tonight at Estill County High School. Again, this is Dave Fowler along with Ken Simon saying good night. See you next week here on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast.
Pickup Country 104.9.